Hello and welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on movies. I'm Kayla and I'm with my co-host,
Noah. And today we have a returning guest to the podcast, ex-roommates.
Yay! What's up, guys? Everybody?
Yeah, this is our first kind of Spooktober episode, even though this is coming out technically at the end of September. You know, it's kind of like
Spooktober kickoff.
It's like
it kind of counts.
Yeah, you know.
Once September starts, September through October 31st is Halloween.
It's spooky season.
Right.
It is. I've already been buying pumpkin drinks. I've been watching Halloween movies. I'm in it. I'm ready to roll.
I liked your tweet, like, don't pumpkin shame people.
Yeah, I have seen, like, at least five people, like, friends of mine, post on social media, like, it's still summer, stop buying pumpkin drinks. And I'm like, God, 2020's been the worst year ever. Just,
right.
Like, let people live their lives and enjoy a good pumpkin spice latte.
Yeah. You don't have to have a pumpkin drink, but, I mean, other people can, you know?
I mean, did summer even really happen? I don't
know. No, it didn't. It didn't feel like summer at all. Because I feel like this is a year where I've seen so many people, like, I'm so ready for fall. I'm so ready for, you know, spooky season, just jumping right in to it because it's just been such a long year.
I already have my costume pick.
Do you? For what party?
I don't know.
Well, for maybe people who didn't listen to the last episode with you guys, do you want to describe kind of what your podcast is about?
We just covered things that are interesting to us in the stream of cults, conspiracies, mysteries, and just chaotic events in general.
Yeah, we love historical things. We love
murder.
Yikes.
And we also just like to talk about it.
Well, we are having an episode on your podcast as well.
Yes, go check it out.
So these two episodes coincide. So today we'll be talking about The Exorcist, and you guys will be talking about Poltergeist. And it basically is a combination of our two podcasts where we get kind of that conspiracy, historical sort of side element of your guys' podcast combined with our movie topic. So we're excited for this collab. So if you're listening after you get through this episode, make sure to go listen to Ex-Roommates episode as well.
Well, let's just jump right into talking about the movie first. This is, again, The Exorcist from 1973. So it's been a long time, 47 years, if my math serves me well. It's a long time. When did you guys first see this movie? What was, like, the first time you watched it?
For me, I didn't see this film until about 4 or 5 years ago. And it was on Netflix, or one of those sites. And me and my roommate were like, well, we've never seen this film. Let's watch it together. So we had bunk beds. He was on the top and I was on the bottom. And we just watched it on, like, this little iPad. And I kind of had, like, low expectations because it was so long. But when I watched it, I was kind of impressed. It wasn't as action-packed as I thought it was going to be. Mm. I thought it was going to be, like, more like The Shining or, like, it was creepy, but there wasn't as many creepy moments as I thought there was going to be. But it was really good.
I was 18, 19, I think. So, and it was my freshman year of college. So I was a Nova, and I was at a friend's house, and she was like, have you ever seen The Exorcist? And I was like, no, but I'm down. And so we watched it, and then the next day we went to Georgetown to the steps where, like, the priest
I was gonna say that's not too far from here. It's right around here. At least.
That's one of my favorite visual elements of the film is how many times they kind of show that staircase leading up, like, the payoff. So that's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, Noah and I both watched it this week for the first time.
I think I watched it, like, 2 weeks ago. But, yeah, this is our first time watching it in the last couple weeks here. Kayla, what was your initial reaction, I guess?
I thought it was a little slow, actually, because people have always said, or everything that I've always heard, is people are like, oh, that movie really messed me up when I watched it and stuff like that. And so I was like, oh man, like, is this, and I had seen some scenes, you know, with just like studying special effects or whatever of the exorcism and everything. But I hadn't seen the whole thing. And so watching it as a whole, I was like, oh, this must be like really spooky. And then I watched it and I was like, huh, that was very underwhelming. At least just from all the, you know, hype surrounding it, I guess.
Yeah, and that's a big deal for you, because you are kind of usually more wary of horror films, because
I
don't
am
like,
yeah,
scared.
That's why I've been putting it off so long, and then I watched it and I was like, man, I could have watched this like a couple years ago.
You've been missing out. Yeah, I kind of felt the same way. Like, I personally don't really find supernatural horror that scary, so I can see, if you are scared of supernatural horror, I can see this being a really scary movie. So that might be more personal.
Yeah, that was how I felt too.
But one thing I think is that the film really banks on the viewer being scared throughout the movie. And so if you're not scared, it kind of just becomes pretty like slow and boring. But like, I can see if you are scared, then I can see how everything totally works. So it's kind of just like, you're either going to love it or hate it, in my opinion, just because depending on if it works for you or not. So I don't know if that really makes it a bad film. I obviously it's not, because it has been beloved by many. So I'm not going to sit here and say I know more than everyone that loves this film, but I just think that personally, like, it just didn't work for me as much, but I get why it works for other people.
I think it worked for the audience at that time.
Yeah,
I agree.
For sure.
Yeah. We just live in a different time, you know, like, post just technological advancements, gore, you know, just the shock value, I feel like, is different today.
We've been desensitized.
Yeah,
I felt that too with like the mother's character. Like, I think that a lot of her character development, or a lot of the reason they give you to really empathize with her, is just because like her daughter's being possessed, which like me at the time, I'm sure that was a huge thing where it's like, oh man, that's all I need to really invest in the character, because she's really like losing her daughter. But I feel like at this point it's become such a trope, probably because of this movie, that it's like, it feels like it's been so played out, like, okay, we get it, yes, the daughter's being possessed, that's sad for the mother, I need more, but I need more to really invest in the story. So I think that is too, where it's like, this has influenced so many movies that came after it, that watching it retrospectively feels a bit like, oh, I've seen this already.
I read something too that said the word exorcist wasn't as commonly known then. Mm-hmm. They actually considered changing the title because of that. But now, of course, there's been 20, 30 exorcism movies since
then.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Like The
and
Conjuring
and
stuff.
And it kind of defined what people think exorcisms are like. In the Cursed Films episode on Shudder, they were talking about how people will believe that they're possessed by a demon, and when they have a priest or someone else perform an exorcism on them, they basically are just replicating what they've seen in movies as a spiritual attack or a supernatural attack, when really it's like, that's not how it would actually look at all if someone were possessed by a demon, you know, if you believe in demon possession. But yeah, very interesting how it dictated a lot of not just horror movies, but also dictated a lot of kind of religious ideas of exorcisms and the supernatural. Yeah. Noah, do you want to read the synopsis that I wrote here, just so we can kind of refresh maybe some people who haven't seen this movie in a while on what's going on?
Yes, I will. Reagan, a 12-year-old girl, and her mother, Chris McNeil, a famous actress, are hearing rats in the attic. Seemingly overnight, the situation becomes drastic. Reagan's entire personality has changed through a series of strange events: levitating beds, freezing cold rooms, and the mysterious death of a man on the steps outside of the house. After many rounds of psychiatrists, a priest is called in to evaluate Reagan's demeanor for the prospect of an exorcism. Will the demon destroy their lives forever, or will their faith will them to overcome the dark power?
Nice.
Wow. Another great synopsis. by Kayla.
Thank you.
Beautifully written.
I love the lack of spoilers. It's great.
With this film, I mean, we already got into like initial reactions, but getting deeper, like what were the things kind of you liked about it and what were the things you didn't like about it as much?
I like the dialogue in the film.
Hmm.
Nowadays in scary films, they just try to scare you with like the cosmetics and, you know, jump scares, but they don't really try to instill fear into you with the plot.
Yeah, I think that's true. With the one scene that I liked was that you didn't realize at first that Reagan had killed the man that had died on the steps.
Mm-hmm.
Or that the demon inside of Reagan killed the man would be a better thing to say. Sorry, that's a spoiler, I guess. But you don't realize that kind of until that scene plays out and he's, like, asking questions. And then as soon as he leaves, like, the mom kind of breaks down because while she was processing through it, she kind of realized, like, and knew that Reagan was powerful because of this sort of demon possession. And then you're like, oh, shoot, like, she actually threw a man out a window, or the demon did. And I think that's kind of the, like, fear element. Like, right. They build it up, like, that's not a jump scare, it, you know? But it kind of gives the, like, mythology to the demon that it's very powerful.
Right. That's a great point, yeah. I thought, like, the overall vibe of the film was just really good. Like, that was probably my favorite part. Like how, like, all the shots were really low lit with the, and it was kind of like the suburban neighborhood, I thought was really nice, like a nice setting for it. And it was kind of, it was it set in the fall? It seemed like to me it was set kind of like in
the
autumn.
I think
season.
It was the fall
vibes.
Yeah. So it was just like a really good way of setting the mood without being like overly in your face about it. Like, it was just very like impending doom feeling, you know, like I really like just the way everything was shot and the way it looked.
And that's scarier than, you know, Jason chasing you down, you know, Freddy Krueger walking up on you.
And I think too, the value, which we kind of mentioned earlier, was this was the first movie of its kind in a sense, and so they got to set the stage for exorcism movies, and so you're kind of going on this journey that people at the time would have never really experienced before. And even the mom, in the book at least, she's like an atheist. And so she's encountering this thing that she never believed existed.
Mm-hmm.
And so you getting exposed to this whole new world, I feel like at that time it would have been amazing. But
now we've
got like the shock.
There's a lot of unknown. Like even maybe going in, like you said, exorcism wasn't a widely known thing. So you go in, you see the name is The Exorcist, maybe you're like, what the heck is that? Like, and so as the movie progresses, you're like, oh, wait, that's what it's like. It's like a whole progression that you don't really get when you watch it in 2020, just because, like, we know more now.
And I feel like people aren't as religious as they were in 1973. So people are seeing this, and they're like, oh, my God, you know. Like, people's reaction in Rome, which is, like, you know, arguably like the religious one of the top three most religious cities in the world. And, you know, they were freaking out in the movie theater. They were running out. There was rumors that, was it a church across the street?
Yeah, got struck by lightning and caught fire, like the steeple. And then people at that one, like, allegedly heard a loud, like, demon banshee scream right when the movie started outside, and it's like, okay.
Yeah, to me,
probably
like,
myth,
we'll definitely get into this in the second half of this episode, but I think that more, like, the thing I like more about the movie is, like, the mythology behind it, and, like, the way that they kind of built it up into this, like, this huge thing that's even maybe bigger than the movie itself, you know? But, like, just as a movie, like I said, I think it was good. I don't think it was the best thing I've seen. One of the things I thought was kind of weird was just, like, how the actual, like, exorcist, who, I love the actor, he's one of my favorites. But, like, I feel like as a plot line, it feels kind of tacked on. Like, I would have rather they cut the first 20 minutes and then made, like, the priest that we spent the whole time with, I think is Damien. I would have rather he just been, like the main Exorcist. You know, they kind of rewrite the story a little bit for that, because at the end it's like, oh, I guess this guy's coming in, and again, that we saw like an hour and 40 minutes ago. Like, okay, cool.
Well, and the whole lore with that is the one thing that I just was like, I don't understand, because the demon was Pazuzu, who Father Marin, who's the priest that came in later, had already, like, exorcised from someone in Africa, and then somehow the demon disappeared into, like, a statue, and then it's like, why was Father, like, do priests usually go to archaeological digs in Iraq? Like, like, why was this man in Iraq uncovering this, like, icon statue of, like, Pazuzu, and then, like, where was he again all this time later? Like, why couldn't they call in another priest? Like, I'm sure other priests have...
It's just not very explained very well, I think. Like, I bet in the book it works more. I mean, I haven't read the book, but I'm assuming, like, they explain that more. But in the movie, it feels like a bit out of nowhere that they kind of bring in this priest last minute. And it's like, oh, all right, I guess this is the main guy now that we're following.
It is, like, a cheesy attempt to make what's happening, like... I guess ancient in a sense, old, which makes it more scary, I feel like.
Yeah, because it's based on like real Assyrian and Babylonian mythology, the demon is. Right. So like it makes sense, but at the same time it's like it does not. It doesn't work.
Yeah. Right. Well, when you're watching it on a screen, it's like I don't know that that's a real like demon, you know? Like they don't say that. And so it works, I guess, if you read about it after, like, oh, so it's kind of cool, like, it's kind of historical in that way. But as you're watching it, you're like, they could have just made this all up, and I have no idea because they're not really explaining it to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll teach Pazuzu in my World History 1 class this year.
Hmm. We'll see how that goes. I mean, we can start wrapping up a little bit on the film itself here, but I do want to mention that I thought the performances were good, especially Jason Miller, who plays, like, the main priest. I thought he did a really good job, because I think he kind of had the hardest role in the film, especially with all the scenes with his mother. Like, he has, like, he has to have the most, like, emotional range, I think, of all the actors in the film.
Cool. Well, let's take a quick ad break. And then we'll come back and talk about the controversy surrounding the film and whether or not it was cursed and different conspiracies that people have. And we're back.
Now we're in your guys' wheelhouse talking about the curses and the conspiracies of The Exorcist.
So let's talk about people thinking that the set itself was cursed, because people have said that they invited this demonic presence into the set by doing these scenes that replicated the act of a demon. So they thought the set was cursed. And one of the kind of bigger, more creepy ones was the fire that happened on the set. So basically the entire set burned down. It had caught fire because a pigeon had found its way into the circuit box, I guess, and started this fire. So everything burned down except for Reagan's bedroom, where the demon was in the movie. So what do you guys think about this? Do you think that it was a coincidence? Do you think it could have been cursed?
That's crazy.
I don't know. I feel like that's too... Unless they had, like, materials in that room or in the wall that would stop it from burning down, I think that's, like...
That's crazy.
That's pretty creepy.
Well, especially, like, I don't...
coincidence.
Like, if where the bedroom was placed, like... I would feel like I'd want to know the geography. Like, was the fire, like, right next to it and it just didn't burn? Or, like...
Well, everything else completely burned down.
Okay.
Like, literally the whole set. They had to stop filming for 6 weeks and rebuild the entire set.
Yeah, I don't know. That's pretty fishy to me.
That's the only one that, like, when I read it, I was like, that's a little sketch. Like, it's a little sketch. And that was the one, too, that, like, there had been these rumors about kind of, you know, it being cursed or whatever. And that was the only thing that made, like, the director and some of the other people, like, nervous. Kind of believe that there could be some kind of curse. But it's like...
Didn't they bring in, like, someone to kind of bless the set after
That was when they brought in a reel, they hired a priest or asked, like, a Jesuit priest to come in and bless the set after that.
Yeah. Well, he didn't do a good job.
Fire.
Well, it didn't burn down again, so.
Yeah. But there was the production still was pretty fraught, which I think is why when the film was getting released, a lot of people were even nervous before they saw the film because it was pretty widely known about how, like, fraught the production was and how many issues they were having.
Here's the line I walk, because I'm all here for a good curse. Because, you know, when you do stuff like this, I feel like you do open yourself up to not-so-great things in this world.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Hollywood's all about a check. Mm. And so I feel like some of these stories are taken and used to drive ticket sales.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you look at the Blair Witch and this found footage experience. You know, everyone's like, oh, they found all this footage and made a movie about it. So I don't know.
Hey, where there's smoke, there's flames.
Literally.
No, yeah, that's definitely what I think Linda Blair, and this was in the Cursed Films episode on Shudder, how Linda Blair said that someone from the PR team at Warner Brothers kind of told her that their job was kind of to create this big conspiracy around the movie to build an audience, because they thought, I mean, Warner Brothers thought that it wasn't going to do well at all, just because, like, kind of like maybe we were saying, not many people knew what Exorcism was, and so the title doesn't really sell, and also the fact that, like, it's an R-rated horror movie in 73. Yeah. And so that's definitely, I think, even if it was cursed, I think that they definitely used a lot of it to sell ticket sales, because that's what sells, you know, the fear.
Well, they even said that they fabricated, like, they staged ambulances in front of the theater. Yeah. Like, there was this big rumor about, like, having to have paramedics at the theater because people were throwing up and being carried out on stretchers. And, you know, like, once rumors get going, like, you know, the ball just keeps on rolling down the hill.
People don't have the internet to fact check.
Yeah, right.
But even, like, Paranormal Activity had a similar thing. They're like, oh, this is the scariest thing since whatever. I thought it was okay.
Yeah, so you wonder if that kind of stuff contributed to, like, the set, like,
you know,
promoting that idea and just, like, adds on to the conspiracy. Because otherwise it's like, oh, man, the whole set burned down. That's awful. Like, I guess it's a little weird that, you know, one part of the set didn't burn down. But, like, because of the presence surrounding the film, you're like,
it's all.
Oh, yeah, that's so creepy. Yeah. But it's like, is it, or is it just a coincidence?
What about, like, the deaths on set, or, like, the deaths connected to the production? Because I think that the fire is kind of cool to talk about, but I think the deaths are what's kind of the more scary thing to me.
Yeah, way more convincing.
Yeah.
The curse.
Yeah, so there were supposedly 9 confirmed deaths with people tied to the film. It was actually kind of hard to find, like, concrete stuff about this, even though this is one of the ones that's talked about the most. 2 people died before the movie even came out, and 2 people died like, during production that were related to people. So, like, Linda Blair's grandfather died, who I assume was older. I couldn't find anything about him. And then Max von Sydow's brother died on the first day of shooting. So there were kind of already these things surrounding the film. And then Jason Miller's son was hit in a motorcycle accident, like, his toddler, and almost died, so people were all kind of wary of this, like, whole death thing, I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Jack...
This is the one that...
Jack
really
McGowan
yeah.
Was 54 when he died. Death caused by influenza and complications. Also contributing heart attack. which there were a lot of, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 different heart attack deaths, which I think is what's most convincing to me, because it's like all those people died young for having a heart attack.
Yeah, right. And Jack McGowan, he died in the movie, right? He's an actor.
Yeah, so both him and the priest's mother of...
No, that's his character.
I don't know how to pronounce her name, but the priest's mother also died in the movie and then died before the film released. But she was 89.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like...
But Jack McGowan, 54, that's young, and, like, dying during post-production.
See, I thought it was weird, too, and maybe you guys think it's weird, I don't know. But he also didn't just randomly die. It wasn't like his heart just stopped working. Mm-hmm. Like, he was in London during a flu epidemic and got the flu when, like, thousands of other people also had the flu.
Okay, all right. So, like...
He had influenza.
Yeah, so even though heart failure was contributing, it's like he did pick up a virus during an actual epidemic in a city where thousands of other people also died from the same thing.
But both of their characters died in the film, and then they died in real life. It's like, whoa.
That is crazy to me. That, like, it's not like they were just, like, in the background in a scene, you know? They were, like, pretty big, like, characters, at least in terms of, like, a side character, and they both died in the film, and then they die before the film, like, in post is what they die while the film
and
is
supposedly
in
security guard who was working on the set died during production, and then also a cameraman's baby was stillborn, so people kind of tied those deaths also to the curse, because it was like they were involved in the film.
Well, one of these things, and I'm sure we'll get more into this in your guys' episode on Poltergeist, but I feel like sometimes with these deaths, especially when they're like with like a murder involved, I feel like sometimes it's kind of disrespectful to the people to kind of chalk it up to just a curse when it's like their personal life, you know? So sometimes that's where I get a little wary of, like, saying a film is cursed, because I feel like sometimes that's, like, not, like, the last thing these people really want is to, like, feel like their tragedies are, like, due to, like, this curse they have no control over, where a lot of times maybe it's,
yeah.
Like, but some of this is, like, especially with Paul Bateson, who was a murderer that was actually in the film, that's a little creepy to me.
Yeah, he killed a journalist.
Yeah.
He had, like, no... they asked him what was his motive. He was like, yeah.
Yeah.
He was also suspected to be a serial killer who was... accused of being a serial killer that was also murdering gay men at the time.
And he was in the film because... he worked at the medical center, right? And they were using people that actually worked at the medical center for the scenes in there. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, didn't he run tests on Reagan in the film?
Yeah, he was one of, like, the doctors.
He did, yes. He was, like, a radiologist technician.
Yeah. He wasn't the main guy, but he was, like, a guy assisting the main guy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, they based it on... like, when the director was researching, he actually went and watched this kind of procedure and then ended up asking, like, all the doctors who did that original procedure to be on the film. So Bateson ended up being included.
Hmm. I mean, even if it's not, like, even if you don't chalk it up to, like, a curse, just the thinking about this movie, it's so crazy how there's so many things, like, connected to this film, and, like, it's not just, like, a comedy, you know, it's a horror movie, and so it kind of connects in that way, at least thematically, and, like, when you think, it's, like, there's just so much that went on that's connected to this film that is just, that's where you have to figure it out, like, do you believe that it's coincidence, or do you believe that it's a curse, you know, that's where you have to think.
That's true, because even with Paul Bateson, like, obviously, he had some traumatic things happen to him before the movie happened. You know, he had experience with alcoholism, and his mother died, and brother killed himself. but it was after the movie that he killed the journalist. So, you know, the question would be, was it the curse of the movie or just a culmination of traumatic life events?
Yeah, like, did a demon possess him? You just wonder. Because, especially because, like, everyone that described him said he was this very kind guy. And yeah, so you just wonder, like...
And there's people on set that got hurt, too, right? They didn't just die. There's some people that got injured.
Yeah, and it's like, was that just... you know, carelessness, or was that, you know, actually a serious issue? Because Ellen Burstyn, who played the mother, suffered a permanent spinal injury in the scene where Reagan, like, punches her and she flies back from the bed. And basically, the stunt person was pulling her in a rig, and she said she was being pulled too forcefully, and the director allegedly told... the stunt guy, or exchange a look with him to pull her harder, and she ended up severely injuring her back, and they ended up using that take in the movie as
they
well.
They used the take and the take where Linda Blair
was injured,
hurt.
Yeah.
And so that's a fact where it's like, that's where I find it might be more, because this came out in 73, and... there's a lot less, like, things
safety
to protect actors back then, you know? And a lot more directors would take advantage of actors.
Well, this movie ended up contributing a lot to making sure more safety precautions were in place.
Yeah. And so that's, especially with Ellen Burstyn, like, I feel like that's more just the director being, like,
a dick,
a bad person, you know? Because he's, like, just... doing this, like, to get a performance where it's like, oh, great, now you gave her a permanent spinal injury that she's going to have for the rest of her life. So
yeah, especially when there's a human on the other end of the rig. It's not like there just was, like, a machine rig that randomly pulled her back super hard that she got injured or something. Because then it would be like, ooh, what made the machine, like, did it, you know, something influence the machine? But it's like, no, an actual human was the one that, like, injured her. And same with Linda Blair. It's like... her rigging broke on the bed. So it's like, it doesn't really contribute, I don't think, to the curse, but it definitely is something that's like, it happened, you know, it's weird. There's a lot of controversy, you know, kind of surrounding it.
Another thing that kind of led to the allure of the film and just kind of like the legend of it just being cursed is televangelist Billy Graham.
Yep.
He basically said the film was cursed, and he has, you know, millions of viewers, and he's all on TV.
Right.
So he basically said the content of the film itself was cursed.
Like, it had the devil in the film, like, in the frame.
Yeah, so that, like, when the theater played it, they were opening up the theater to demonic possession, which it's like...
Well, and I think the biggest... that is really, like, where I think the biggest conspiracy was coming from, was because, like, in 72, a year before this film released, the Catholic Church kind of made the statement that the devil was a real entity, and, like, supernaturality and, like, demonic forces were real. And so that was already getting people, like, attuned to that. And then this movie comes out a year later, and it's just, like, the perfect storm, you know? And so I, like, kind of what we were saying in the beginning, like, I think the fact this was released in 1973 really contributed to a lot of its, like, lore and a lot of, like, the curse conversation.
It's interesting, though, on the religious side, that all these kind of, you know, Billy Graham, who's a big religious figure, but, like, probably then, you know, the community backed him on it, being like, evil, evil, don't go watch it. But that really, the film almost was promoting the church in a way.
No,
like,
yeah, for sure.
The priests are totally the heroes in this film.
Yeah.
I mean, self-sacrificing, the main priest, spoiler, you know, took the demon and jumped out the window to save
That's a great scene.
This child. Yeah. And it's like, I almost feel like, sure, yeah, supernatural things could be real, but like these people who have, you know, this faith in this bigger God, mm-hmm. Can get rid of kind of these demons and overpower them through their faith. And it kind of makes you wonder, like, I almost feel like a faith community could take this and see more positive in it than actually, like,
you'd think.
The negative side. But it seems that it ended up getting spun, which doesn't surprise me.
Well, and it's really unfortunate because Linda Blair, like, she was receiving death threats, like, after Billy Graham made that.
Who was literally a child, like, made that, and like, she wasn't even the demon.
They had to get like, bodyguards. Like, it's just really unfortunate the way that, like, the lengths people will go.
Yeah, and to this day, scared. She won't even talk about it because of how much it, like, the after experience traumatized her.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, this movie and that comment probably fueled, like, the conservative Christian opinion of scary movies. Because I don't know how many times I've had people tell me that it's not okay that I watch scary movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And
this
which
is
I get.
This is an early one, too. Yeah. This is an early film.
Yeah. I think everybody's got to take whatever media they consume on a personal basis. But even, like what you were saying, Kayla, if you look at the Conjuring movies, the main ones, not the universe itself, were written by two Christian directors and writers. And in the end, spoiler alert, the priests are the ones that save the day,
right,
in a sense, or the Christians. And so I just feel like it's just a different medium.
I just think that this film, like, even though it maybe doesn't work for me as a film, just because don't find it very scary, so like it kind of loses all of that. But I think it's really interesting to talk about just from like a historical perspective, both in the curse and the fact like how it changed a lot of people's perceptions of horror movies and also just horror movies in general. Because like a lot of horror movies, I mean, I feel like there wasn't as many supernatural horror movies until this movie. A lot of it was more like slasher.
It proved that horror movies could be considered for like Academy Awards as well.
Yeah, and be successful in the box office.
Yeah, successful, which is cool. So to wrap up, let's cast in our votes. Was the film cursed? Yes or no?
I'm going to go ahead and say yes, it was cursed. And but I think it's okay if you watch it. I think it was cursed for the people that partook in acting and filming it and producing it. I mean, that's what the evidence has shown. So. And churches should watch The Exorcist.
Oh, my God.
Play it on Sunday.
Play it at your youth groups, Sunday mornings, your kids' ministry.
I'll vote yes. I think a lot of the stuff that people contribute to the curse is not cursed. Like maybe some of the deaths may not have been cursed, maybe some were, but I think the fire is the most contributing factor to maybe just the onset presence being cursed, and then after that, like, it wasn't cursed. Like, the curse didn't last, you know. But
right,
while they
yeah.
were filming these scenes, there was some sort of evil, maybe not curse, but some sort of evil that, you know, maybe they awoke, but then it kind of maybe dissipated.
Yeah, and then after that, people kind of, like, kept
poltergeist
trying to contribute things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to back Kayla's. I like Kayla's response, because I'm like, yes, but, you know, I think the experience probably was cursed and then maybe traumatic in a sense. That maybe contributed to future stuff, but yeah.
I'm not going to say that the deaths were cursed, because I think, like, especially a lot of the ones that happened after the fact.
Yeah,
like
2 decades later, it's like, you can't credit that to a curse.
Yeah, it's like, that's not. But, I mean, the fire is really what's fishy to me, you know? Like, I don't think that the screenings were cursed, I don't think that the deaths were cursed, but the fire is the one where it's like, you know, maybe there was a little something going on there that's like, and maybe the Jesuit priest did do it, you know?
Oh,
like,
and we didn't even mention this, but I think the final nail in the coffin to the set itself being cursed is that the guy who was playing the main priest, Jason Miller, was allegedly, he said that this happened, approached on the street by a random priest who didn't know him at all and handed him a medallion and warned him against those who do things to reveal the devil for the trickster that he is. He will seek retribution against you, or he will even try to stop what you were trying to do to unmask him. And this was like a random happening. Ooh. It wasn't like the guy knew that they were even filming The Exorcist. Right. So I feel like that's the final, like, the set was cursed, but not everything that is that contributed falls. To the rumors and the controversy was actually a testament to the curse.
Yeah. And when he turned around, the guy was gone.
His coat was just lying there. yeah, well, great. What do you, we'll turn it over to the listeners now, I guess. You guys can reach out to us on our social media accounts. Like, tell us, do you think this film is cursed?
Yeah, we'll run an Instagram poll or something.
Yeah, Instagram poll, for sure. Yeah, we want to hear your guys' thoughts.
Yeah, make sure you go check out the episode on ex-roommates. You can just search ex-roommates on, you guys are on all platforms, right?
Yeah, we are.
So search them up on Instagram as well. Follow their page.
Ex-roommates.
Yeah, subscribe. search us up on Instagram. Subscribe to the podcast.
What's our next episode, Kayla? Our next spooky episode.
Okay, our next episode, technically in October. So technically Spooktober, but it is... Yep. Spooky season is We've Never Seen Halloween.
The movie, you know. Yeah, not like so we've never seen Halloween, the holiday.
Yes,
no, we've been alive.
Michael Myers.
Yeah, classic. But one that we got to jump on the wagon for. I mean, there's how many movies in the franchise? Like 15 or something?
Too many.
Too many.
The newest one was amazing.
Oh, yes.
But yeah,
2016
checking.
They released a teaser trailer for
the sequel. Yeah, I saw that. Until next time, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Noah.
And I'm Herschel.
And I'm Parker.
And we're your secondhand film critics.